Welcome to another life-changing message from Pastor Vernell J.R. Samuel of Hungry for God Church. For more information, please visit our website, www.h4gchurch.com.
Amen. Glory to God. Money talks. All right, let's get started. We have a few more weeks left. I'm thinking about staying here till the rest of the end of the year. Just because it's so good. But for the sake of time, I want to start off. I want to give you guys two verses, and we're just going to talk a little bit. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Turn your Bibles with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. And I want you guys to get ready to receive. So much has transpired already today. God is just raining blessings on his people in this season. And there's always this spirit called the spirit of religion that loves to interfere with what God is doing. You know, somebody once said, the safest place to hide from God is in religion. The safest place to hide from God is through religion. Because how many people know that you can be in church, but not in the presence of God? That you can be around the things of God and still not be involved in the things of God. And it's important in this season that we become serious about being a participant in what God is doing. And it's not about just showing up to church. It's not just about coming to Bible study, but it's about truly opening your heart, your mind, your soul, and making a conscious decision to say, Lord, I want to do things your way. I want to live your way. I want to use my money your way. I want to enter into relationships your way. I don't want to do it on my own. The Bible says that the blessing of the Lord makes you rich and adds no sorrow. So, that means that if we are walking in line with the blessing of God, that God will begin to bless us in a way that there's no pain, there's no grief attached to it, that we'll enter into this place what I like to call effortless success, where it's almost as if you do less than everybody else in the world, but you can get more than everybody else in the world. Jesus also said, if you follow me and put my yoke upon you, then I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That if we do things Jesus' way, the Bible says, the residual effect of that is that life will become easier for us. Now, I know that there are people out there that will tell you, you can't become successful without grinding and putting in the work, and you got to work really hard, and of course you got to work, and of course there is work involved with productivity and being fruitful and doing what God has called us to do. But I really believe that there is something called grace, everybody say grace, that makes our life easier than the rest of the world. For example, Jesus, another thing Jesus said in Matthew 6, he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, or his way of doing things, and then all these things will be added to you. So I love the fact that he said that if we seek his kingdom and we seek to do things God's way, that things won't be subtracted from us, but things will be added to us. Things. The type of things. The things you want, the things you need in life. The things that the heathens, or those who don't believe in the name of Jesus, those who don't believe in God, the things that they're striving for and working hard for, the Bible says it will be added to you. that God is not going to take it away from you, but give it to you. Now, religious people will tell you to seek the kingdom, but then when things start being added to you, they'll start getting jealous of you. And they'll teach you that things, and you're not supposed to have things, because for you to be a good Christian, you can't be rich, you can't be wealthy. You got to give away everything you have, because money is going to corrupt you somehow, make you evil. And so we got these now, these religious myths that many of us have heard traditionally, it's been passed down from generation to generation, that many of us in this room don't even feel worthy to be wealthy. How many of you feel worthy to be wealthy? That I deserve to be wealthy. What makes Bill Gates any different than you? Besides the zeros in his bank account. Or anyone else that we can admire who we know has experienced an enormous amount of wealth in this life. Now, we know that all of our hope is not being put in this life. And again, religion has taught us to focus on the life after death. But I choose to believe in life before death. And I choose to believe that God wants us to enjoy this life and live an abundant life while we're here. And it's amazing and it's extremely important that you understand that the beliefs you choose are the beliefs you'll live by. And those beliefs are what it's either going to limit your life or it's going to take the limits off of your life so that you can accomplish more in life. Jesus said in Mark 9:23 that if you believe, matter of fact, let's go there. Mark 9, verse 23. I want to take my time. Mark 9, verse 23. And this is a very important verse. I love this verse just because I believe this is like one of the pillars of being a Christian or being a believer or walking, or those a faith walker, or someone who walks with God. Mark 9, verse 23. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible. If you can believe, not if you can achieve. If you can believe, all things are possible. If you can behave, that's not what he said. If you do everything right and be a good Christian, all things are possible. No, Jesus said, if you can believe, then you create new possibilities in your life. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. What religion taught us again to focus on is our behavior. And then we think that depending on how good we behave or how bad we behave, that determines whether or not God will bless us, God can use us, God will make us wealthy, God will heal us. Some people believe that if, you know, they didn't live right, God won't heal them today. Or, you know, because they didn't do everything right, God won't promote them. And I'm here to let you know that God doesn't work from that angle. That's called legalism. That's the law. And Jesus Christ came under the law so that he can fulfill the law and take us out of the demands of the law and bring us under the demands of grace. Now, what's the difference? Under the law simply meant that under the law, you get what you deserve. Under the law, you get what you deserve. You get paid according to what you work for, right? Under the law, you earn based on what you can earn is what you can receive. What you achieve in your own strength, that's what you receive. If you didn't keep the law and you broke it, you receive accordingly. You were cursed if you didn't keep God's commandments perfectly, and you were blessed if you lived by the laws perfectly. We know that no one kept the law perfectly. So therefore, the law was a broken system. It was just simply an apparatus to, or a system to help us to see our need for a Savior in Christ, right? So now that we're in Christ, we have to realize that God no longer is dealing with us based on the law. He's dealing with us based on this system called grace. Now, if the law says you got what you deserve, what grace then says is that you get more than you deserve. Because grace is based on the kindness of God. It's based on the riches. The Bible says the riches of his grace. Do you know that grace is rich? And that when you begin to walk in grace, that God is, this is what begins to give you a prosperous and a rich mindset. Because you can live more abundantly and more generous because under grace, you're not dealing with yourself or others based on what they can only earn or what they deserve or based on their own strength. But we get what we don't deserve and we get more than we deserve because we're not receiving anything from God based on our own strength and our own abilities. We're receiving from God based on Jesus' perfectness, Jesus' perfection, Jesus' righteousness. And because we're in him, God says you get to share what's in him. Now, what's in Jesus? Is poverty in Jesus? Is lack in Jesus? Is there scarcity in Jesus? Come on. Let me ask you a question. Is Jesus deserving? Is Jesus deserving of wealth or is he deserving of poverty? Wealth? We know that 2 Corinthians 9, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. No, 8, I'm sorry. Chapter 8, verse 9. Second Corinthians 8, verse 9. For you know, say I know. For you know the grace. Everybody say grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Your Bible tells you that Christ became poor for you so that you can become rich for him. Then I flew over a few heads, Vito. Because people will tell you, why are you preaching prosperity? Why are you talking about money in church? Look at Jesus. He didn't walk around with the finest things in life. He didn't walk around in luxury. Jesus was a poor man. If you want to believe that, this verse tells you why he did that. He didn't become poor so that he can set a standard for you to be poor the rest of your life. He became poor to identify with the poorest of the poor in this world so that no one can exclude themselves from what he was doing. Who was born poorer than Jesus? Born in a manger, born amongst animals. Come on. Who was born in a worse condition than him? Yet he arose and became the most influential person this world has ever seen and ever known. Why? Because he came to give you a spirit of wealth. He came to give you a spirit of prosperity. He said, I'm going to be poor just so that you can sow what you're, so you can know what you're born in doesn't mean what you have to remain in. What I came to do was be born in a lowly state. I'm identifying with every single human being, the poorest of the poor. There's more poor people than rich people, aren't they? Aren't there? But he came poor so that you can see his life and through his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, everything that he earned from heaven and earned from God, Jesus then says, listen, I'm giving you my name. I'm giving you my identity. And anything you ask in my name, I'll give it to you. If I don't know wealth is in him, I won't ask him for it. Do we believe that Jesus is worthy of wealth today? He was rich. He became poor so that you through poverty might become rich. His poverty. must say, I am a recipient of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on. So I said in Mark 9:23, right? If you can believe, all things are possible. There's another passage of scripture. The rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, Lord, how can I inherit eternal life? And this is where the religious people again come in and say, see, this story shows that if you're going to come into the kingdom, you can't be rich. Jesus told the rich young ruler, yes, you've been doing everything right. You've been keeping the commandments since the day of your youth. He was an influential man, the Bible says, and he had many possessions, the Bible says. Great were his possessions. And then Jesus said, there's one thing that you lack. If you want to inherit eternal life, you have to sell everything you have and give it to the poor. Now, was that a standard for every Christian? That if somebody wants to follow Jesus, they have to give away all their possessions and all their money, and to become poor to follow Jesus, you got to pick up a vow of poverty and vow never to be rich and vow never to be wealthy in order to enter into heaven? Is that the standard that Jesus set? No, because we don't see him ask anybody else to do that. But what Jesus was pinpointing in this man was not the fact that he had a lot of money. It was because the money he had had him. Why? Because when Jesus asked him to give it away, he couldn't. So anything that you can't walk away from has authority over you. That's why we practice generosity. That's why we give. That's why we sow every chance we get. Why? Because when you can actually walk away from money, then you know you've mastered it. So Jesus just wants to see your heart, your character, your loyalty. Is it on things or is it on him? If it's on him, if he asks you to give your car away, you can do it. I love what Sister Yvette said. Like, if God didn't want me to get this job, I know he got something better for me. Right? You can walk away from a job if God wants you to, because you know he has something better. He will never downgrade you, church. He will always tell you to do something, and because he has something better in his hand to give you. This rich young ruler probably would have had even more after he walked away from it all. But he didn't get to see it. But then the commentary after that incident was this. Jesus said, it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. The disciples then said, well, who then can enter into the kingdom? Jesus then added to the statement, ready? With man, it is impossible. But with God, nothing is impossible. In other words, in your own strength, it's impossible to be rich and get into the kingdom. But with God, if you're rich with God, nothing is impossible. With man, by yourself, it's impossible. The money will trip you up. The money will get in your way. The money will become a god to you. But with God, nothing is impossible. So it is possible to be rich and get into heaven if you put God above your money. All right? And that's what we want to do, because here's the deal. God needs you to be wealthy. We learned last week, the Bible says, when the wicked rule, the people groan. But when the righteous rule, when the righteous have authority, when the righteous have ownership, the people rejoice. If we owned more buildings, and we were able to rent, and we were able to operate out of kingdom principles and kingdom dynamics, and we're able to serve people, we're able to release grace to people, how much better would our community and our cities be if believers had more control and more authority? But we got this religious line roped up in us that we feel like we got to hand money over. And I'm going to tell you something. The devil, when God delivered the people of Israel out of Egypt, do you know that when he set them free, the last temptation before God killed the firstborn, in Egypt. Do you know that Pharaoh tried to negotiate with Moses? Do you know the last thing he tried to negotiate with him on? He said to Moses, "I will let them go, but they cannot take any resources with them." Because Egypt owed Israel for the 400 years of work they put in. But Pharaoh was willing to let them go, but he wasn't going to give them their money. And Moses didn't accept that. What if the devil, see, the devil doesn't mind if you're free. He doesn't mind if you're free. What he doesn't want to see you is free and wealthy. He wants you to be free and broke. He wants you to be free and frustrated about your bills and frustrated about what you're going to do to be able to take care of your kids. Come on, the devil wants you free. He doesn't mind if you're free as long as you don't got no money. He wants to keep a hold of it because money talks in this world. Come on, church. Come on. We're breaking the spirit of poverty today. So he wants you to be satisfied. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. But you struggle every single day with everything else. Come on, how many of you are tired of being tired of not having money? How many of us, our worship is conflicted because we're worried about our resources, we're worried about money, worried about bills? Come on. How many of us are tired of being too tired to pray, too tired to read the Bible, too tired to spend time with God, too tired to be with our families? Come on. Because we're in this system that this world has set up to keep you in prison and keep you in bondage. You got just enough to go to work, just enough to take care of your bills, just enough to meet your needs, but you can't ever do anything more. The dreams that God has put in you, you can't even spend enough time to meditate on it and work on them because you don't have the energy. Come on, the enemy wants to keep you poor. He wants to keep you struggling, and God has sent me to preach you into a new dimension of grace. Come on, there's a grace coming on the body of Christ to be wealthy, to be rich, to have money, to have influence. And there's nothing the devil can do about it because this is what Jesus came for. He didn't just come to forgive you of your sins. That's one aspect of it. But he also came to heal you from your diseases. But he also came to free you from the spirit of lack and poverty. Don't give in to his temptations to say, "I'm okay where I am." The devil, come on. The devil, there is nothing in this world that the devil should claim as his. Come on. Money is not the devil's. Money belongs to the Lord. Didn't he say that? The earth is the Lord's. The fullness thereof. Come on. Come on. The silver and gold is mine, says the Lord. So why are we handing money over to the devil and allowing wicked people and corrupt people and greedy people to use it however they want? Come on, it's time for a change. But it's not until we say, "I'm ready to change. I'm ready to take ownership." Come on, say, "I'm ready to grow economically, financially, for the purposes of God." Let me prove it to you. Another verse, Deuteronomy chapter 8. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 8, verse 18. Jesus did not just come just so that you can be free. He wants you to be free and wealthy. Deuteronomy 8, verse 17 and 18. Watch this. "Then you say in your heart, 'My power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth.'" Verse 18. "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power." Everybody say power. Power to get wealth. The Bible says it's God who gives us the power to get wealth. He didn't say he gives us wealth. He gives us the power to get wealth. That's the difference. He gives you the capacity to get wealth. He wants to give you the mental capacity, the emotional capacity, the spiritual capacity, and even the physical capacity or power to get wealth. Why? That he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. So there is a power to get wealth. There is a grace to get wealth. There is an anointing to get wealth. How many people want that anointing on their lives? All right? And he says he will give it to you, but he says you must remember the Lord your God, for it's him. It's him. Do you believe that God can make you wealthy, church? That God can prosper you? Remember, when the blessing of the Lord works, he makes you rich and adds no sorrow to it. There are a lot of rich people in this world who have a lot, but it's not the blessing of the Lord. They're rich financially, but they have sorrow. They don't have peace. Their kids don't love them. Their marriages can't stay together. I know one family, I mean, you would have thought they had it all. Before they were 40 years old, had a vacation home off a lake, real estate portfolio, properties. I mean, this family had it all. And then, around the age of 42, they didn't feel happy. They had everything there, but everything that money could buy, they had it. But they just were not happy, and they didn't know why. See, it's one thing for us, you know, you say like, somebody said money won't make you happy. And then somebody else would say, well, let me get some money and let me find out for myself. All right? This person, they had the money that they wanted, but it still wasn't, they weren't happy. So they felt this place of hopelessness. They were in this place of despair. And they began to start drinking. They didn't understand that what they were missing was not physical anymore. It was a spiritual need. But they didn't know. So they began to drink. And by the time they were 44 years old, everything they had, they lost. They went from rich to broke. They had nothing. Their marriage was divorced. Kids resented them. And I heard this story because it was a lady who was speaking about her own personal journey, coming from a home where she had everything she wanted, just to seeing everything just disintegrated right before her eyes, and how when she got to a place of success in her own life, she found that she ended up losing everything herself when she got to a certain age. And because she realized that she believed this lie, what she saw from her parents was that money can make you happy. So she believed within herself, if I have too much money, I'm going to end up like my parents. So now this lie or this belief then began to limit her. Are you seeing that? What you believe either creates the possibilities for your life, it creates new possibilities, or it releases limits, or it can put limits on you. And I'm going to get to beliefs next week. I believe that what the enemy has done strategically, intentionally, for centuries, was to continue to create this divide between, once again, the haves and the have-nots, the people who know how to get the money and those who don't, and keep those who don't have the money as busy and as preoccupied with stuff as long as possible so that they'll never ever get a chance to know what we know and do what we do and threaten to take what we have. And they lie to you and tell you things like, you know, there's not enough in the world. We believe, you know, so many people walk around believing that, you know, there's a shortage of money. You know, when there's a recession and people talk about there's no money, so where did all the money go? remember this verse, church. I want you to write this on your heart. I want you to meditate on it this week. And I want you to begin to believe this for yourself. Make this personal. I will remember the Lord, my God. People think they got to go around God to get wealth. People think they got to go around God. They don't, you know, they're to get riches or get wealthy. Come on. God wants you wealthy. He says, I'm the one who gives you the power to get wealth so that, this is the motivation, so that he may establish his covenant. What was his covenant? The covenant that he made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The covenant or the promise he made to Abraham was that, Abraham, I will bless you, I will make your name great, and I will make you a blessing to the nations. That was the covenant or the oath or the promise he made to Abraham. And so, God told the people of Israel, centuries after, you becoming wealthy is actually the fulfillment of my covenant that I made to Abraham. So don't let people lie to you and tell you blessings are just spiritual. He's not talking about spiritual wealth here. Come on, don't look at me with that tone of voice. The blessing of Abraham was not just a spiritual blessing. Abraham was wealthy. His sons were wealthy. And the scriptures say, God wants to give you the power to get wealth so that he can keep his promise to Abraham. So what if one of the last moves of God in the earth is an economic and a financial move? I know we want to see the glory of God come, and we want to see our churches filled, and we want to see the supernatural when we see signs and wonders, and we want to see a restoration of the glory in our churches. But what if, along with that move of God, is a financial economic shift where God will begin to release wealth to the body of Christ to establish his covenant, to keep his promise. Hallelujah. Don't let the kids distract you. They're getting something too. But I want you to key in on this, church. You must do everything that you can to see yourself walking in this kind of blessing at this level in this day and age. The enemy is going to fight you in your thought life. He's going to do everything he can to talk you away. Some of you are going to tell people about this teaching, and you're going to have people that's going to tell you, oh, you sound like your pastor's preaching some prosperity rubbish and some prosperity gospel. Yes, I am preaching a prosperity gospel, because the gospel is a prosperity gospel. Come on, prosperity is a part of the good news. Preach good news to the poor. What better news is there to tell the poor? That you don't have to be poor. So if the Bible says, if you believe, all things are possible, that also means if I don't believe, I make things impossible. That's perfect timing. Listen, I want to tell you this. Your beliefs in the kingdom is what drives you. It's what drives the kingdom of God. What you believe is what determines what you will receive in this life. It's not about what the enemy wants to give you. It's not about what the devil may try to take from you. It's what you choose to believe. God told me to tell you today, choose what you want to believe. Choose your beliefs. If you choose to believe that you can't receive, that you're not good enough, that you're not worthy of, and that you can't be wealthy, you can't be rich, then that's going to be your portion. But if you choose to believe with the word of God, that God wants to give you the power to get wealth, and you don't have to make sense of it. Notice the verse before that. Verse 17 says, he says, don't say in your heart that it was my strength and my ability that got me this wealth. Don't say my power and the might of my own hand gave me this wealth. Don't say that. Because the way things are about to be set up for your life, God is going to personally escort you through a system where he's going to show you, I'm the one who's going to give you the power to get wealth. I'm going to connect you to people on the street who are going to invite you to be a part of my art exhibit so that you can make some money. I will begin to set you up and open up doors for you where what people thought you were going to limit you in, God says, no, I'm going to include you in. Come on, what the rich know is no longer going to be, is not going to be what they know any longer. You're going to know it. And as he gives you this power, you got to begin to use it. And as we use it, we'll begin to step into the blessing that God already says we have. Come on, isn't that exciting times? This is exciting times. Come on, this is exciting times, church. Say, I'm going to be a part of the next move of God. Say, I am a believer. I choose to believe in the wealth and the prosperity portion of the gospel. God told me, he said, poor people have impossibility mindsets. Wealthy people have possibility mindsets. He said, impossibility is a disability of the mind. Impossibility is a disability of the mind. God never created you to live from an impossibility mindset. God wants us to know that all things are possible. Why? Because what's impossible for you is possible for God. Come on here. What's impossible for you? Don't say that I'm going to get this wealth in my own hand. I don't care how much debt you have. I don't care how much money you owe Paul. I don't care how much money you borrowed from Peter. Come on. God says today, I'm going to give you the power to get wealth. That means I'm going to give you the grace. What does grace mean? What's getting more than you deserve. Getting more than you earn. Come on. And Jesus gave you his righteousness, his identity to live from. So if you ever wondered, who am I to walk around thinking this way? Remember that you are loved and that you are a son of God and that you are in the Christ. Come on. Do you know that in my last verse, Galatians 2:20, when the Bible says, I no longer live, but Christ now lives in me. You want to know why Christ chose to live in you? Because when he gave you his righteousness, he gave you his worthiness. He gave you his deservingness. When Jesus said, take my righteousness and live from this place of righteousness, it means that if anyone deserves anything in this world, it's you. We believe that Jesus deserves wealth, right? If you're in him and he's in you, then that means you deserve it too. Come on. You don't need to settle for less. You can choose to believe that you deserve the best. Do you want to accept that? Come on. You guys look like you're afraid to accept that. If you believe, you make it possible. Come on. Who else deserves to have to fly first class? Why, when you go on the plane, you got to watch somebody else get up there and go to first class? The shame walk past that first section, right? You go say, you deserve to fly first class because you're in Christ. Come on. You deserve the finer things in life because you're in Christ. Come on, he became poor so you can become rich. Are you going to choose to identify with his poverty? Or are you going to choose to identify with his wealth and his prosperity? And come on, in his finished work. Come on, come on. Come on. I will sit courtside at a game And not worry. Who's coming with me? I'm going to sit for courtside. And it won't hurt. Skybox, why not, right? I go to the skybox. Come on here. Come on. But, and here's my closure. All of this, what becomes possible for you, is an inside job. Meaning that you have to begin to change your beliefs. And people tell you, people will teach you that in order to change, you know, they'll get you on some plan and you start changing your behaviors and you start doing different things. But what I've discovered is this, the real secret to change is not changing anything on the outside. It starts by you changing on the inside. I want to leave you with this thought. An egg. Imagine if I have an egg. If an outside force breaks an egg, the life in it dies. But if the egg breaks from the inside, life begins. When the truth in you is incubated long enough, when the truth grows in you, that's why you gotta meditate on the word day and night. This is why you gotta keep feeding your soul and your spirit and your mind with the truth of God's word. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Come on, who you really are on the inside will come out of you and break through the shell, the limits, the barriers on your life. But you gotta allow the truth to grow in you. You gotta keep feeding your mind. This is who I am. I'm not broke. Let the weak say I am strong. Let the poor say I am rich. Why? Because all you're doing is changing the image on the inside of you. All you're doing is getting your heart and your mind to begin to see yourself the way God sees you. God doesn't see you broke. God doesn't see you poor. God sees you rich. God sees you wealthy. God sees you successful. God sees you healthy. God sees you prosperous. Because you're not in yourself. You're not in your sin. You're in Christ. Come on. That is who you are. You're not your circumstance. You're not your situations. You are a child of God. And we got to accept this for who we are, man. So choose to renew your mind. Let go of the old. That's all you got to do. Let go of the old. Let go of all of the old beliefs you have. Forget about the images of what you've seen or what you grew up in. That's not who you are. What you were born in does not mean what you have to remain in. Come on, let's give God a big, big, big round of applause. Hallelujah! Come on, the truth is rising in you. The truth is setting you free. The truth is making you whole again. Come on. Come on, everybody, stand with me really quick. Come on. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to say with me, say, I believe that wealth is for me. Say that three more times. Go ahead. Say, I believe I am worthy to receive wealth. Say it three more times. Come on, say, I believe that my generations after me will not see poverty, but they will see wealth and prosperity. Say, my generations after me will not see lack and poverty, but they shall see wealth and prosperity. Say, the generations coming after me will not fall victim to the lies that I believed, but they shall walk in the blessing of Abraham. Hallelujah. Come on, come on. Let's celebrate God one time. Come on! It's happening for me! Come on! Woo! Hey!
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.